Well, this caught my eye. I touched on it a few days ago. Is this the last Christmas for WLS? And I thought, well, that's sending out a wrong signal. It's certainly not the last Christmas for WLS, this radio station. But this station at one time, the call letters were named after the world's largest store, which at one time was Sears. Keep in mind that Sears at one time was both the Amazon and the Walmart of its day. In fact, I remember back in the old days, you used to watch Greg and Marcia and Bobby and Cindy and Jan and the other kid, forgot his name, they'd all go to Sears. I'm sorry? They'd all go to Sears. When Sears and Kmart merged in 2005, 3,500 U.S. stores between them, 300,000 employees plus. By 2018, the company had filed for bankruptcy. Eddie Lampert, the hedge fund operator, he bought the remains of the business. When it came out of bankruptcy early 2019, he promised to turn things around. Then they were down to 223 Sears and about 200 Kmart stores nationwide. And more recently, we think a total of 15 remaining Sears outlets. A year ago, there were 6 Kmart stores on the U.S. mainland. You get the idea. Now let's welcome Mark Cohen, Director of Retail Studies at Columbia University and the former CEO of Sears Canadian Unit before the Kmart merger, to WLS. Mark, thanks for your time and your expertise. Much appreciated, sir.
Thanks for inviting me.
So let's talk about what might have been. Was it a foregone conclusion that both Sears and Kmart were going to go the way of the dinosaurs, or could Sears in particular had evolved and would it be a powerhouse today under different management?
Well, I think Kmart may have been a foregone conclusion, but certainly Sears was not. I would say to you that if you give me a 90-second opportunity, in 1992, Sears Roebuck, including Sears Canada, was doing well over $40 billion and was profitable but was stuck, having invested an enormous amount of money in financial institutions like Coldwell Banker and Allstate, having failed to continue to invest in the retail business. And so the board woke up, or was forced to wake up, and appointed a guy named Arthur Martinez to come in and institute a turnaround. The turnaround, which started in 92, was nearly miraculous in its effect on performance. Unfortunately, after about 4 years of incredible improvement in the company's fortunes, the turnaround got stuck, 96, 97. I joined in 98. The turnaround was being restarted. By 2000, the company had the best year in its history. And unfortunately, that's when the lights started to flicker, because Martinez retired. He was replaced by a guy named Alan Lacey. And by 2005, after about 4 or 5 years in the chair, having accomplished basically nothing, the lights started to dim. And at that point, he did a deal with Eddie Lampert, who had acquired control of Kmart in a bankruptcy proceeding, to buy 51 stores, Kmarts, across the U.S. for $605 million, to roll out a strategy he had come up with called Sears Grand, which was an impending failure. Lampert sold the stores off. The street got wind of the price that Lacey had paid for those 51 stores and extrapolated the value of Kmart's 2,000 stores, and the Kmart stock went crazy. Lampert used the $605 million in cash and the inflated Kmart stock to buy Sears Roebuck and merge the two companies, Kmart and Sears Roebuck.
Well, why didn't he change the business model? Obviously, as I said at the top of the conversation, with all that real estate and already in their catalog business, they were in the delivery business. Why didn't they become both the Amazon and continue to be the Walmart of the day? Where did they go wrong?
Well, the company had exited the catalog business in 92, 93, but had a longstanding heritage of being able to do business on a direct-to-consumer basis through that catalog. And the company in 2000 was beginning to invest in the Internet through Sears.com. And so there was absolutely every intent to migrate back into that direct-to-consumer marketplace through the Internet. There was absolutely no reason whatsoever why the company could not have continued to improve its performance and thrive, unlike Kmart, which was really on its last legs at that point. This is all about the value of leadership, both positive and negative. Lacey did nothing positively, and Lampert, of course, is a hedge fund guy who had some fuzzy notions about how to run a retail business. The Street was touting him as the next Warren Buffett because they thought he was a genius, except he wasn't. And after about 2 years of bumbling along trying to manipulate the business, he threw the towel in and started to liquidate its assets.
Yeah, just sell off the real estate.
Today, there's 15 stores left. The company is essentially gone. The only reason there may be 15 stores left is that there are some legal obligations that remain or some net operating losses yet to be harvested.
Yeah, some leases. So, Mr. Cohen, I hear the frustration in your voice as a former member of the executive team. What does it mean, I mean, as far as the fabric of America? What do you tell your students at Columbia University regarding the legacy of Sears? Just missed opportunities, what might have been? This is a perfect example of how to take a company that could have been revitalized and just flitter it away?
Well, it takes a lot of people whose combined efforts over a reasonably long period of time create an iconic brand that becomes an enormous presence in consumers' minds, hearts, and households. And that was Sears Roebuck. But it only takes a few people at the top who are either incompetent or otherwise incapable to destroy that brand equity, because brand equity is brittle. And once destroyed, it's almost never able to be put back together. And that's the terrible tragedy of the disappearance of Sears.
I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that's not a metaphor for our democracy or representative republic. It is more brittle than people think.
Well, we dodged a bullet during the election several weeks ago. I don't think we're out of the quote-unquote woods yet with regard to the ongoing capacity of our democracy to stand on its feet. But you know, these structures, whether they're corporate enterprise or government institutions, are built on the backs of human beings, and so they are always far more brittle than we'd like to think.
Mr. Cohen, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. I enjoyed reading your comments in the articles on Sears, and have a terrific weekend.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free. See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though, so. That's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Have a great holiday.
Mark Cohen, Director of Retail Studies at Columbia University, former CEO of Sears Canadian Unit, way before the Kmart merger.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.